and we pray especially for the gift of your presence. Indeed, that, Lord, you would, by your Spirit, walk with us day by day. That by your Spirit, you would be nudging us into paths of righteousness, and that by your Spirit, we would live holy lives. Lord, teach us what it is to be your people in this age and in this land. Help us to be faithful in all that we do. Give us courage to live out our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Gentleness. I am thoughtful, considerate, and calm in my dealings with others. Let's say that together. Gentleness. I am thoughtful, considerate, and calm in my dealings with others. Going to have three key points this morning. These points will be thoughtful, be considerate, be calm. Be thoughtful, be considerate, be calm. Now, that's good advice. Amen? Especially when we are dealing with 4 days of nonstop rain. Praise the Lord, it's not raining today. I know I'm excited about that. People have flooding in their homes and their yards. They're dealing with all kinds of stresses and extra problems. They can't drive where they want to drive, when they want to drive. We think of the McGee's family in particular this morning, and we prayed for them earlier. Many people will be short-tempered in the days ahead. Some will have short tempers, and that's really a good time for us to practice this particular characteristic of the Christian life, to be thoughtful, be considerate, be calm, in other words, to be gentle with one another. We talk about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, and it is. We talked about that earlier this morning, and we talked about how growing in faith is understanding that God is our Father, that He loves us, acknowledging that He is King, and repenting of our sins, and that life should, as we go forward from there, show itself in new behaviors, new temperament of the Christian. James 3:17 reads this way. This is the Message version. It's a paraphrase. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. Another verse that is powerful in these words. Live in the right way. Serve God. Have faith. Love patience and gentleness. Be gentle with one another. Sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. All of those powerful scriptures to live by and words that we can all put to action in our life. On the one hand, gentleness seems pretty obvious. Amen? I mean, it seems that our being gentle is a pretty obvious practice of the Christian faith. And so we would want to be gentle in our behaviors. It's obvious, but on the other hand, it can be a little difficult. It can be something we have to think about. Something we have to slow ourselves down and deal with. And so I want to start with a reading that those of you who are reading in the Believe book, this was the primary reading of the week. It's a story of John. It's at the end of the book of John. If you want to look that up in the Bible, you certainly can. It's the last chapter, 21, book of John. I'm going to read it for us, but if you wanted to look it up, that'd be great. Sea of Tiberias is the location, also known as the Sea of Galilee. John writes this touching story. He was an eyewitness to it. And he writes in verse 1, Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Because we all know when the going gets tough, the tough go fishing. Amen? It's just me, apparently. All right. Well, anyway. So they went out and got into a boat. But that night they caught nothing. Sounds like a typical Sunday, right, Tim? Tim and I never go fishing on Sundays anymore because we never catch fish on Sunday afternoons. Even when I'm off, I'm not cheating. It's allowed, right? No. So they went out and they got nothing. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Okay, this is a post-resurrection appearance. Okay, this is after he's died. been buried, rose from the dead. He's now wandering around surprising people. You remember the one story, he just popped through the door. He's in the room, they don't know who he is. He breaks the bread, and it's like, Jesus. Okay, so he's like popping up and he's showing up places. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Okay, this is like the guy, you've been fishing for 3 hours, not caught anything. He says, "Try a different color." And you're like, whatever. Okay, it's not going to work. And they do that. They do. They actually go ahead and they throw it. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Just out of the blue, boom, they catch a net full of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him. I don't know why he does this. He stops, he puts on his robe over top of what he's wearing, and then he jumps into the water. I don't know if he expected to walk to Jesus or what the thinking was, but this is Peter, and we know how he is. And he jumps in the water, and it tells a story. They get to the shore, and Jesus is there with Peter, and the other disciples come up in the boat, and they have this wonderful breakfast. Jesus cooks them breakfast. And there's different ways of looking at this text. In fact, I know I have preached two entirely contradictory sermons, almost. That they were abandoning their work to go fishing instead of doing what they should have been doing. And then on the other hand, I thought, well, maybe they were just on a spiritual retreat. Because that's what I do when I go fishing. It's like a spiritual retreat, and I kind of rebuild my spiritual energy by getting away and fishing some. And so maybe that's what was going on. I'm just not sure. But the main thing is that we want to notice here, Jesus doesn't confront them that they're wasting time fishing. You hear that, Julia? Where is she? It's not a waste of time. It's biblical. He did not say a word about the time fishing. This sermon has taken a turn for the worse, I think. I'm not sure if they should have been fishing or not. I can play it, like I said, both ways. I can look at this story different ways. But he doesn't say anything about it. And then it says in verse 14, "This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Three times he's appeared. This one he serves them breakfast. And then there's this next bit, and it's really important. Y'all listen to this. Y'all come in on this a little bit. And I want you to be thinking as I'm reading this, is Jesus being gentle or not gentle? Okay? Verse 15, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him," think about that, three times, very important, "'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.' And then Jesus said this, 'I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the type of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, 'Follow me.' And Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, 'Lord, who is going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him?' And Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, that is, what is that to you? You must follow me.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, we're going to get this air conditioner right eventually. I went down 2 degrees instead of one. That'll be fine. You're distracted? It's my Clint Eastwood imitation. No. Only a few people know what that means. Okay. Thanks for laughing. One person. Understood. Okay. I'm going to clip that out of the online version of the sermon. Okay. I want us to be thoughtful here. Okay. This is part of our lesson, to be thoughtful. Jesus is simultaneously rebuking Peter and restoring him to ministry. Do you get that? I mean, this has been preached a lot of times. If you've been around church, you've heard that. If you haven't, you're going to learn it today. So there's three questions. Do you love me? How many denials were they on the night of Jesus' prosecution and eventual crucifixion? Three. Peter said, Lord, I love you more than anyone else. I will follow you all the way. And then what does he do? I do not know the man. He denies him three times. So it's incredibly gentle and tender what Jesus is doing. Coming to him and allowing him to go through this process. Now hear me, that is confrontational as all get out. Because don't think Peter is missing what's happening here. You're pointing out my denial. And I also want you to catch something else. He was out with his buddies fishing. He swims to shore, the buddies come in the boat and join them, and all of them are eating breakfast. This conversation is not a private conversation. Jesus is laying Peter out in front of his friends. Gentle or not gentle? Maybe we need to learn some things about what it is to be gentle. But the clear message here of restoration cannot be missed. Now, more rebuke in the message that we don't get in the English. Okay, so Jesus asks him, do you agapeo me? He said it all in Greek, but I just said one word. Agapeo is the Greek word for covenantal love, sacrificing love. I will be with you all the way. It's marital love. It's God's love for His people. Agapeo. More deep than any other type of love. It has both this kind of legal, covenantal sense and then this just deep, I don't want to use the word passionate because I don't want you to get confused by what I mean by that, but this very deep, meaningful love. And each time Peter replies, Lord, you know I phileo you. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. I have this brotherly love for you. It's like we're family. Well, that kind of love can mean all kinds. Amen. That kind of love can mean all kinds of things. I mean, family blood's thicker than water, but it can be thicker somewhere else sometimes too, if you know what I mean. I phileo love you, and so the first two times Jesus says, "Do you agapeo love me?" And the first two times Peter replies, "I phileo love you." And so the third time Jesus comes back with, "Do you phileo love me?" And Jesus and Peter, it says, got offended because the third time he asked you. See, in English, it sounds like he got offended because he asked him the same question. He didn't. He asked him a whole different question. Can you really, at the very least, phileo love me? And that's when he gets fired up and says, you know I phileo love you. And then Jesus goes on. So confrontational again. But then Jesus goes on to say, this is the kind of death you'll have. When you were a child, you dress yourself. But when you're a man, other people will dress you and will lead you where you do not go. Follow me. Imperative tense. Exclamation point. Where did Jesus go when he could not lead himself? To the cross. And Jesus is saying, prophetically, you're going to love me more than you think. It's powerful. It's powerful. So he's confronting Peter, but there's this incredible gentleness to what's going on. And he's telling Peter who you are. Peter, you think you're this, but I know you're this. And you won't understand my words right now, but there will be a day when you're being led to your cross. And Peter says, do not hang me the same way as Jesus. And legend has it that he was hung upside down so that he would not be hung the exact same way as Jesus because he did not feel worthy to hang as Jesus hung. It's amazing. It's a confrontation of failure, but it's a restoration of his ministry and his life. Jesus points out clearly the three denials, yet he restores each one with the confidence of love. And here's the deal for us. We're sitting here. Are any of us going to sit here and presume that we are doing really great in our faith? That we just, man, we are getting this Christian thing. Anybody want to... And isn't it funny, those of us who are getting a little older, I'm turned 47 this week. Nobody says, oh, you're just a kid anymore. They used to say that. I remember it. It's like 5 years ago it still happened, but not anymore. It stopped. And that's okay. I can handle it. Y'all can. I won't be here for you to tell me it's okay later. So, but anyway, we're getting older. And as you get older, you actually become somewhat less satisfied. Isn't it true? Am I the only one? In yourself. Like you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, man, there's so much work to do. There's so much work. But at the same time, you can stop making a frowny face, I see you. At the same time, you have a new confidence. It's weird. It's a contradiction almost. It's a paradox of the Christian life. That as you grow, as you mature, you start to feel worse about your sins. You acknowledge them quicker. They weigh on you heavier. But at the same time, you have a greater confidence in Christ. It's powerful. It's a paradox. And so you may be out there right now and you're thinking, I've got a heavy burden of sin. And I know when I first came in, it was really bad. I mean, lay on your face and weep and pray before God kind of stuff. And He forgave that. And then I trucked along for a while and it was great. And then there was like these times where you go, oh man. And you start looking at your life and you go, there's so much work to do. And then you get on your face again and you pray to the Lord. And He works. And He works His grace into your heart. And you grow in faith. And so we are facing challenges and we are being asked, brothers and sisters, just like Peter, you're failing. I know you are. I'm failing. It's no secret. Okay? We all have failures. And you're being asked by Jesus today in this room right now, do you love me? And if you're really honest, you're saying, of course I phileo you. And then all these distractions are drawing you away. And we know in the back of our minds, I need to agapeo Him. I need to have a deeper love, a more meaningful love. And He's saying, it's okay. It's not okay, it's okay. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to move you forward. You're going to grow in this. You're going to become a better person. You're going to work with me. You're going to feel the conflict in your soul and in your spirit. And you're not going to be satisfied because you want to be more like Him. You want that walk with Him. Daily walking with Him. And so the measurement of do you love Jesus is more than simply answering a question. It's how you walk. It's how you live out your faith. Going back to James, it's what we do that shows the grace at work in our lives. And do you love Him enough this morning? I'm going to ask again and I'm going to turn the air conditioner back down. And sorry about that. Should have trusted my instincts the first time. You're going to be asking yourself, am I willing to sacrifice for Him? See, because that's what Jesus laid on Him at the beach. There's going to be a day. You're going to die. Follow me. And so are we going to die to self? Are we going to grow in our faith? Are we willing to make sacrifice? And as we look at today's text, we see the calling upon us to be gentle. And you're saying, that's such an easy thing, being gentle. What are you talking about? Why are we talking about death and gentleness? These are way over the board examples to use, gentleness and death. And I say to you, that's crazy. Being gentle is not easy. Some of us are more inclined to being submissive and to not being confrontational and to avoid confrontation. Not quite the thing, same thing as being gentle. So in our interactions with others, are we going to be at first thoughtful as we work into being gentle? And so I want to look at this deeper because we had to be thoughtful as we looked at the text with Peter and Jesus. Philippians 2:6, listen. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you're supposed to be like that. And it's hard. So the first step in acting out gentleness is to be thoughtful, to think about Jesus. to think about how he lived, how he treated Peter, how he treats you, and how he treats me. And to see how gentle he is, that there were times where he could have been harsh and he wasn't, where he's very gentle and kind and loving. He sacrificed himself. He humbled himself. Being God incarnate on earth, he chose to die for our sins. And that's our example. It's going to be hard work. It says in Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Hear me. The Lord is near. Be thoughtful. The Lord is near. And you can take that a couple different ways. There's this imperative to be gentle, but the gentleness, the reminder is the Lord is near. And I don't think this is the near. Hey, Chad, I saw that. Totally caught him off guard. Not Jesus lurking over your shoulder, waiting to catch you doing something bad. Okay, it makes people uncomfortable when the pastor comes into the pews. And there's a reason, because they do stuff like that. I don't think that's it. I think the Lord is near means He is with you. Just a closer walk with Thee, as we sang. Will you be with me? Will you help me? Will your gentleness be an example to me every step of the way? If I stop and think, can I see you in my life in such a way that I can be gentle? That's powerful. So be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Sorry, Chad. I apologize. Now the key question this week is, how do I demonstrate thoughtfulness and consideration? When you're close to Jesus, when His love is thriving in your life, you have an internal mechanism that allows you to be gentle in your dealings with others. The closer you are to Jesus, the more like Him you're going to be, the more you will be gentle. We learned a new phrase last night. I'm going to tell a bedtime story. It's one of the stories I tell over and over again, and it puts you to sleep. For many years, many of you know this, I worked in the food and beverage industry. Okay, that was my previous career, if I had one. Going from the level of college cafeteria to running a department in a 4-star resort in upstate New York to running food outlets at a resort in Florida, including a pan pizza, Pizza Hut Express. So, you know, kind of all over the board on that. And it was a very demanding industry. It doesn't matter which part of it you're in. It's very demanding. The expectations are high and the complaints are constant. And in fact, the ability to address customer complaints will make or break you as a manager in that business. That's how you basically rise to management, is how you deal with upset customers. And from that experience, I know what it takes to serve a good meal at a restaurant. I actually do. I've worked kitchen staff, dish staff, I've cleaned out the trash, I've worked in engineering in some of those institutions. Every branch of that, I've had an involvement in it. I know how hard it is, and so you know I'm so tolerant. Aren't y'all at least going to pretend that sounded right? Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. I'm not at all tolerant. Have any of us, besides me, lived with the expectation of receiving good service when you order out? Who else has stopped going to Popeyes? I went back. They had great service. I think they changed the culture. Go check it out. I was so amazed. Got desperate for some Popeyes, and the service was awesome. I couldn't believe it. Happened twice now. You know, we have that expectation. When you're paying for something, the expectation comes up in us that we're going to get good service and that we deserve that. You know, I will take bad food and good service over good food and awful service any day of the week. That's the way I am. I would rather, well, not awful food, but I mean mediocre food, okay? I would be like, yeah, I'll go eat there. The customer service is awesome. The experience is better. Here's a trick. Now, this is pragmatics. If you want good service, just be gentle to people. Just talk to your waitress. Talk to the orderer at Burger King. Stop and make eye contact with them and say, how are you doing today? Thank you for taking my order. You will get the best service you've had all year. Gentleness works in general if you practice it. And I watch people that go out, and I go out with them, and they're the ones that are kind, they get great service everywhere they go. The Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The truth is that for some of us, this is much more of a natural response, to get angry when we get bad service. Some of us, it's a natural response to be kind and gentle, to be easygoing. But if we are thoughtful, we will realize a pragmatic benefit, that we won't be stirring up anger wherever we go. But there's deeper wisdom to be gained. If you are considerate, you might just realize that this person has a really tough job. Okay, so being thoughtful is remembering what Christ has done for me. Being thoughtful is remembering the pragmatic thing, that if I'm gentle, I'll get a good response. But being considerate is thinking that that teller at the bank that you're tired of waiting on, I also worked as a teller for about 6 months, has to make 8 steps to process every check that you hand them. And they have to do this while 20 people are standing behind them, you rolling their eyes at them while they're processing every single check. And they're making $7 an hour. Well, now they're probably making 10, but we know how old I am, so we know why I was making 7. That's a lot of work for $7 an hour. Same thing at Burger King. You think about McDonald's. How many items do they have on that menu? Those people behind the counter, they got to know how to make everything on that menu. Taco Bell, could you imagine? What do I squirt when and how much and on which taco shell? And I'm getting minimum wage and it's 98 degrees in here and nobody cares about what we're doing. That's consideration to go, wow, what a tough job. Thanks for serving me today. Even though it's fast food and I don't want to talk to you, make eye contact or anything. Thoughtfulness makes us stop and consider the situation, but consideration makes us stop and consider the person. Okay? So consider the person. That is a child of God you're dealing with. I am thoughtful, considerate, and calm in my dealings with others. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Calm. Not losing your cool. Not letting your temper show. It's that sense of He is with you. It's that sense that the waters are rising, but God is with me. It's the sense that there are troubles in my life, but God is with me. It's okay. It's okay. Remain calm. So if I'm thoughtful, if I'm considerate, if I'm calm, I'm actually living out a gentle lifestyle. And some of us, like me, we work at that. I think I've had some success. It's more progress to be made. But God is at work in us in this situation. I'm going to close this with a psalm. And then Julia is going to come up and sing the last hymn after I benedict you, because I really have to get to Homa and preach there. I'm sorry about the change. So we're going to read the psalm. I'll pray, do the benediction. Julia will close us with, "Have thine own way, Lord." A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Remember those words as you go through your week. Sorry to rush out, but as you go this day, let us pray and then I'll give you a blessing. Father, we're grateful for Your love, the way You have indeed been a good Father in our lives, the way You've cared for us, the way You look after us, nurture us, meet our needs. And Lord, we pray today that You would indeed speak into our lives. Remind us to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And so as I go, and as you go a little later, may you remember that the Father in heaven loves you, that the Son indeed sacrificed His life for you. And hear this great truth: you are not alone. The Holy Spirit will go with you. God bless you all. Amen. Amen.